Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Reveille, reveille, donks.
Look at us now, tip to tip. This is our life. This is our passion. That's the spirit we bring to this show.
I'm Luke Thomas.
I'm Brian Campbell.
This is Morning Combat.
Hey, hi, everyone. It's 1:48 in the morning. Jesus, could they put these on later? I mean, wow, this went late. We are in Washington, D.C., not just because it's my hometown, which I tell everyone every chance I get because I just make it a thing that's weird. We are here because it's Tank Davis. It's Hector Garcia. The fight is now over. This is the Capital One Arena behind me. We're on the roof of this bitch. Actually, and I'm not doing a bit here. Look, you can't see it. But BC is right here. He's actually sitting on the floor. Show your hand, BC. There it is. He's on the floor. Why are you on the floor? Typing? You can sit in the chair. There you
are. What are we doing here?
I wasn't kidding. I was telling the truth.
I mean, seriously. What is this?
This is the stupidest post-fight show that ever was. We're supposed to be talking about Tank Davis. No, this is great. This is fun. we're just having, hey, can we have a good time? Is that all right? We can do a good analysis. All right. So here's how this is going to go. He is actually writing a piece for CBSSports.com. Then he's going to do a quick hit with CBS Sports HQ, and then he will join us here on the broadcast. My name is Luke Thomas, of course. I am one half of the hosting duo for Normal Morning Combat, which is Monday, Wednesday, Friday, live at 11 a.m. in the East. But here we are going to get to the results from Tank Davis defeating Hector Garcia. Now, obviously, if you're here, you don't want the spoilers. So I'm assuming that's going to be a thing you're okay with. I believe the official prediction, which, BC, I think I got it right to the number, which is, well, it's kind of weird how they did it. But basically, after Meek Mill, and I'm not making this up, this is actually what happened. Meek Mill, the rapper, was fighting someone in the stands here. I'm not really sure who. Okay, it may have been Gary Russell Jr. I'm not even sure, but I don't want to. Meek Mill was fighting. I'll put it that way. So they halt the round. The round restarts, and Tank Davis just bludgeons Hector Garcia. He was going to the body with lefts, actually going over the top with rights, and then he was catching with left hooks as well. He was delivering punishing uppercuts, punishing body work, to the point that they go back. He actually survives the round. Then between the eighth and ninth round, he tells his corner he can't see. Ninth round starts, he doesn't answer the bell. So they actually called it at 13 seconds of the ninth round, although really they should have just waved it between rounds and done the three-minute mark or whatever of the eighth round. Doesn't matter. For folks who may have missed this, this is incredible. Tank Davis didn't break the eye socket of Garcia, right? He didn't crush it and it swole up, and so he couldn't see visibly because there was swelling impacting the eye's ability to like quite literally gather light. No, that wasn't it at all. As he told the translator, Felix De Jesus, he got hit in the head and it just short-circuited everything to the point where he lost sight. He said his head still hurt and the vision eventually came back. Tank Davis went in there and delivered a punishing shot so hard it rattled his brain. It rattled his brain to the point where he just could not operate normally. He said not only could he not see, he didn't know where he was. It was utterly disorienting. He's fine now, although he said he had a headache. But that was how devastating a punch that was. What a performance, really, from Tank Davis. And in many ways, customary of the kind of thing you have been seeing from him maybe a little bit more recently, which is giving rounds away is a strong word to put it. The opponents making the fights closer than perhaps the odds might indicate, perhaps more than you might imagine, given what often ends up just being the eventuality of him winning with this thunderous punching power, with this thunderous, in many cases, knockout ability. Didn't get the official knockout here tonight, but obviously you go back to the Leo Santa Cruz fight and just completely obliterating him. So the fight was kind of close at first. You had two southpaws. You saw Tank Davis having a little bit of trouble negotiating the distance. I thought the jab was pretty good from Garcia and keeping him at range. Not a whole lot happened, though. The fight was kind of boring, to be quite candid with you. I'd say through the first three rounds, it was kind of boring. By rounds four, that's when everything began to turn up. That's when the heat began to get cranked up there a little bit there on the oven. What I saw was a Tank Davis who was basically able to take away the jab from Hector Garcia. I can hear it. So how did he do it? One, he was able to push Garcia back. Two, he was able to feint and fake and then athletically leap into range. But the big part was he was able to draw out the jab. Rather than being the kind of victim of it and waiting for Garcia to set the terms of the jab, it was actually a guy in the way he was pressing and then feinting and faking, drawing out reactions. And then by the time the reaction came, the jab would fire. Davis read it a mile away, would scoot out of the way, and then counter, right? That's the best time to counter is when they're at the end of the punch. Now, I mean, yes, you can cover up here, obviously, with your shoulder to your chin. But nevertheless, I mean, you're just going to be much more vulnerable. And often you saw him get countered over the top with the jab, right? With Garcia, you heard it on the broadcast, calling it a bit of a lazy jab, right? He didn't bring it all the way back very tightly. And so Tank just ate him alive for it. And, dude, you just cannot – I give Garcia credit, man. It looked like he was taking those shots better than anybody could. But in the end, yes, you can be – this just shows you what's possible, right? Garcia basically gave the toughest kind of performance a person could possibly give, right? In the sense of just physical durability, in the sense of a willingness to do what it takes, an ability to withstand damage, or so we think. But the human body just has biological limits. Tank Davis punched him in the head so hard, he lost sight for a little while and didn't know where he was. I mean, I'm not doing a bit. I'm talking to the crew here. That's like getting hit in the head with a hammer, right? Something like that. That's how hard Tank Davis punches. I mean, it's just shocking what that he did. He's 5'5.5". You would never think twice that a guy that small could thump the way he does. Dude, he will fuck you up. Whoa. He has dynamic power. And I think the one thing we saw really in the Romero fight, obviously it played out earlier, was that, and we said this during the prelim show, BC and I did the prelims here today, his timing's gotten better. His timing's gotten way better, right? So here we had a guy now being able to set and draw reactions, time them, counteract them, use dynamic power, flurrying combinations, head, body, right to the body, and then over the top to the head. I mean, just dramatically good work. He's really beginning to put all the pieces of the puzzle there together. I will tell you something kind of weird, though. Did you guys notice this? He would go back to his corner between rounds. You guys all saw this. Tank Davis is like looking around being like, hey, is the so-and-so here? I'm like, who the fuck are you looking for in the middle of a fight? And then he asked what round it was, which is not the – I've seen that before. I mean, you definitely have seen that when guys have been rocked. Right, they get rocked, they come back like, what round is it? And you're like, fourth. You know, that I've seen that before, but I've also seen it when guys just kind of lose track a little bit, even when they're winning, or if, especially since the first three rounds were kind of slow, he asked after the sixth. The weird part was, did you notice that Calvin Ford and his trainer, his cut man, they don't give Gervonta hardly any advice? They're like, how you feeling? Want some water? Nice day today, huh? Pretty good weather. The beers were, $9 at concessions or whatever the thing they're going to say is. He didn't really give him a whole lot of a little bit of go to the body, a little bit of double up on the jab, things like that. But Gervonta was basically out there I don't know, seemed like figuring it out in real time. Just kind of feeling his way through it, not really sticking to any kind of hardcore game plan, just kind of waiting for something to materialize. And once he began to set the trap and draw out the jab from Garcia, that was all she wrote. That was all she wrote. It was just a moment. It was just enough punishment at that point. There was no way it was going to go any further. It simply could not, right? There are just simply biological limits to this. So what does all of this do? Now, according to Sports Illustrated's Chris Mannix, he says that there are not actually physical contracts signed yet, but that between the camps of Ryan Garcia and Tank Davis, there are very clear verbal agreements and sort of a loose understanding of what to expect and what each wants. And I'm going to guess some of the purse details have actually been already worked out, but there is nothing quite official. Let's assume for the sake of argument that it is official. This is what we got to go. What do we expect between those two? I will tell you, like I, like the rest of you, I had high hopes for that fight anyway. I would say my hopes are even higher now. I think Tank is Ryan Garcia powerful enough? He is fast enough. Is he powerful enough and consistent enough to discipline Tank early to midway through a fight, all the way through? I have my doubts. I think he can do that in spurts. I don't think he can do that consistently enough, especially since Tank's going to be delivering it back. But that's going to be an absolutely incredible fight. Truly, truly, truly tentatively scheduled for April. 135 pounds, I believe, right? Yeah, 130, not going to be 140. tonight's opponent doesn't meaningfully tell us a lot because the only thing that really combines them both is that their last name is Garcia as boxers. They're very different kind, very different body types, very different games, very different kind of fundamentals. I don't know that Ryan Garcia is going to be able to take the punches that Hector Garcia took, but it doesn't really matter because I don't think anyone at 135 pounds can take Tank Davis's punches if you take enough of them, right? There's a certain amount that's just biologically, you cannot get over that. He reached his credit card got maxed out basically today. That's going to be true of anybody, right? It's going to be true of anybody 135 pounds, especially this version of Tank. I will be curious to see. And also remember, we got Ryan Garcia training now with Goosen and has this sort of come forward style a little bit more, willing to engage. Boy, that's going to make for a very interesting fight. But for folks wondering, like, what can we infer from tonight about that time, I would say, again, Tank's diagnostic ability, his fight IQ, we already know about his power and his athleticism and his ability to leap into range and all that fun stuff, putting combinations together. I just think this fight won't look like that fight. They're very different fighters, very different opponents, very different circumstances. But that Tank has this kind of real-time, it's not the most impressive diagnostic real-time ability, but that he can combine it with all of these other attributes that by themselves are typically good enough to win fights is very impressive. It's very impressive. It gives me high hopes for a chess match when you need one and a barn burner the rest of the time. Now, again, if you're just joining us, Luke Thomas here. Thumbs up on the video. Hit subscribe. All that fun stuff. Brian Campbell, I think, is now going to be joining CBS Sports HQ any moment. He's finished his column. He will then join us here in the seat, and we'll pick his brain about this. Tank doing the celebratory backflip. You heard a lot of questions about distractions. Obviously, as everybody knows, been on the story a million times. Tank Davis, about 2 weeks ago, was arrested for domestic violence for allegedly hitting the mother of his children. There's been a series of comments from her and from other people about what it all means, but the fight did go on. There was obviously some debate about whether or not it should, but it did. And Tank was well received here in D.C. I said this the whole time, man. They didn't do – people were asking me, like, oh, is there a lot of buzz in the city? And, yeah, there was, but, like, they didn't do any media for this. Like, they didn't do any bus backs. They didn't do any, like, local advertising. 106.7 The Fan, and then 980 a.m., they didn't have any radio ads for it. They didn't need it. I think they had either a sellout or a near sellout tonight, and they didn't have to spend – a dime on advertising. I mean, that's crazy. Especially someone who's seen other boxers, other MMA events come through town. Dude, when UFC comes through town, they do tons of advertising. You could hear it everywhere. I didn't hear anything for this one, and it's still sold basically at capacity. So he was well received. You know, whether you think he should have been or not, he was. And it seemed to lift him. For what it's worth, like when you ask, like, how distracting was it? I think that it looks like Tank Davis just looks like a guy who lives with some harmless, some not so harmless, but a guy who just lives with distraction, right? I mean, look what he was doing between rounds. Like, he was looking around for people, didn't know what round it was, right? I mean, it's just sort of this very much managing a bunch of different things at once. He can kind of drill down once the round starts and he can stick to it. But even then, like, sometimes you've seen him. You saw this in the Rolly fight. In the Rolly fight, remember he was talking to people in the audience when he was fighting Rolly? How crazy is that, right? So it looks to me just like a guy who kind of, I won't say thrives in the chaos because that's not really true, but perhaps lives in it and is somewhat used to it and can balance it in certain ways, perhaps better than others. Let me read you some of the stats here from this fight. I've got it saved here from CompuBox. I'm going to pull it up here on my phone because this is a very professional broadcast, as you can tell. All right, so let's look at some of the numbers here real quickly from this fight. Let's see what we got. I got to pull up our old CompuBox. Let's see here. Okay, so for your main event, here we have it. Tank walked, this is according to CompuBox, Tank walked the tightrope again before unloading on Garcia in round 8, right? Landing 30 of 46 punches, good Lord. 29 of which were power shots. Wow. Let's see. Jabs, 26 for Davis, just 5. Is that really true? Landing, I thought he did much better work with the jab early. That's funny. Okay, all right, fair enough. He threw 157. They gave him credit for 5. For power shots for Garcia, he threw 188, landing only 50, which is just 27%, a very low number. For Davis, totally different ball game. Jabs, 26 of 100, which makes some sense, but a lot of those didn't have it. Towards the end, they had a lot of steam on them. Early, they did not. But here's the big one. He landed 53% of his power shots. 53. You can't. Tank Davis at 135 pounds cannot be beaten if he's landing 53% of his power shots. Period. Can't be beaten. That is way, way, way too much damage, especially over the course of 8 rounds in which to do that. For 8 rounds, more than half of his power punches are landing. He cannot be beaten under those circumstances, right? So the key to beating him is you got to get that number below 50%. If you're looking at numeric totals, now again, these are quantitative totals, not necessarily qualitative. Excuse me, qualitative totals. Davis had scored more punches. Hold on. Davis scored more punches in round 1. Garcia barely in round 2. More in round 3. That's about right. Those were some close, weird rounds. Round 4 is where it began to pick up. Davis doubling the number of strikes over Garcia in round 4, having more in round 5, narrowing even more in round 6, Davis opening back up in 7, and then absolutely obliterating him in round 8. 30 punches to 3 in round 8. He had 10 times the number of punches as Hector Luis Garcia. Guys, I'm going to say it again. Through 8 rounds, if he's landing more than 50% of his power shots, and he's landing at quite literally 10 times the amount of the opponent, that opponent cannot win at 135 pounds. Can't happen. Won't happen. Not possible. Not on the board of things that we can actually do. You cannot take that much punishment in an individual round, and you cannot allow that many rounds of that much consistent punching from a guy who can deliver it in the way that he can, like Tank Davis. Simply too much, far too much, every time. That's just the way it goes. That's just the way that it goes. Now, we'll save some more analysis for when Brian Campbell sits back down with us. Let's talk a little bit about that co-main event and some of the rest of the card here, because I'm going to want to focus largely on the main event. Okay, so Boots Ennis pitched a shutout, right? 3 different judges all had it 120-108 for him. He didn't lose a single round on a single judge's scorecard. And you guys know we've been high on Boots. I'm high on Boots. BC's high on Boots. The boxing industry is high on Boots. And I'm still high on Boots. Hello, he pitched a shutout. The guy didn't win a round anywhere on anyone's judge's scorecard. However, I do think it'd be fair to say that if you were expecting that to be like, hey, we put him on a Tank Davis co-main event role. This is going to be the time where he really kicks it into high gear and everyone pays attention. And this will be a bit of a breakout moment. I don't know that it really served as a breakout moment. BC will make a good point as well. This is what he said when we were watching real time. It's like the fight itself was a little bit lackluster, which was not entirely, of course, Ennis's fault. But then on top of it, he has an opportunity for a call-out. He has kind of like a mealy-mouthed call-out about Virgil Ortiz or maybe Ugas or maybe Spence or Crawford or whatever. I think he mentioned just Spence because they're both PBC guys. But, you know, you get the idea. He didn't really have a great call-out either. You know, it just – I don't know. It just – it didn't seem off. I'll say this about – I'll call him Chukazian. Chukazian, great footwork. He was able to just move backwards, sideways, bending over, shuffling, you name it, and doing it in coordinated, smart, defensive ways for very long stretches of that fight. It didn't put him in a position to get great offense going, although he could pop him. You know, let's put a pause. Let's pause the conversation. Let's be joined here by this douchebag. He's my partner in crime. He's been farting all day. It's Brian Campbell. I can't hear him.
I can't hear myself either. There we go. All right. Hey, what I missed so far?
I was just moving on to the co-main event, but we can hit the pause button. Tank Davis beating Hector Luis Garcia. Basically, I don't know if you saw the numbers, BC.
I did.
He landed 53% of his power punches.
I mean, look, that's ridiculous.
Here's what I said. Dude, at 135, if a fight goes 8 rounds and Tank Davis can land 53% of his power punches, you can't beat him.
So it's the old boxing adage that if you can land at least 40% of your power punches when you look at the stat sheet, the show stats brought to you by CompuBox, of course, you probably will have won the fight. He landed 53% against a guy you can argue, you know, coming in at least, where were the advantages that Hector Luis Garcia had? Well, certainly size and length, which are two things that Tank is going to have to navigate in this proposed Ryan Garcia fight. But Hector Garcia was more of the pure technician, had the amateur background, fought in the Olympics, and really made Tank think in these early rounds. But the key to Tank is that it's the danger, of course, but it's the efficiency to not waste punches, never put himself in a bad position. But Hector Garcia, beginning in around round four, set up shop within punching range to Tank and had enough danger with that reach advantage to see Tank navigate it the way he does, the way he's able to dissect the situation on the fly. It's Canelo-like. In some ways, it's Floyd-like. Maybe it's just unique to exactly who Tank is, but to be able to land to be that far ahead in the overall total punches landed and to be able to do it while landing 53% of your power shots. I mean, that's as good as it gets in the game.
Dude, the big thing to me was the first three rounds, kind of boring. Right, kind of boring. Round four is where everything begins to change. Do we have to talk about round eight? One of the strangest rounds I've ever fucking seen in my life.
I mean, short of the fan man in the second Riddick Bowe Evander Holyfield fight from, 1993, where the action was halted, and that actually affected the momentum of the fight in terms of who was winning and what was happening when it stopped. I thought this could have been the case here with that weird fight right in the first couple celebrity rows.
Was Meek Mill.
Yeah, we thought it may have been Gary Russell Jr. at first,
I'm not sure he was a part of it in the end.
Definitely Meek Mill, and a whole group of people were removed after that to allow the fight to continue. But, I mean, they actually pressed pause on the fight because many people were concerned.
Both Gervonta and Garcia were like, they were facing off, you know, like whatever, and then they both were looking over like, what the fuck is going
on
over there?
Here's what makes Tank great, is because at the time of the pausing, Garcia was starting to get lit up with some big left crosses from Tank at that point. So he wondered, and I think Abner Mara said on the broadcast, would that break allow Garcia to get his legs back under him? They both came out there, they both traded big punches at close range, but again, Tank the bigger puncher, and when he's able to land that efficiently, he wobbles Garcia to close the round at round eight. By the way, I know no one cares, but they're calling this a ninth round TKO.
So what they
13
said was
seconds in, they
called him to start the round to get off the stool. He basically didn't, and then of course, enough time for the referee to be like, get up, and then he waves it. It was 13 seconds into round nine.
I mean, look, it's a tremendous. You know, Tank was favored. We thought, and we pretty much knew the power would be the difference. But you've got to give Garcia a ton of credit for the guts he showed, for the craft he showed to be able to match Tank. I mean, Tank was never really able to And maybe until that eighth round, walk him down at will. Just really start to barrage where you know, there was two other moments where the crowd started to rise, where the two-way action was good and people started to wonder, is Tank, you know, a couple punches away from doing it? But considering that Garcia was the smaller fighter weight-wise moving up from 130 where he has a title belt, he took some big shots and he was able to stand in there and really fight at a credible competitive level the whole time. Scorecards at the time of the stoppage, did you read those? 78-73, 78-73, and 78-74 in Davis's direction. I don't think you're going to complain there, but it did feel like it was close. It did feel like it was close.
It did, although two of the judges were from Maryland and Virginia. So keep that.
Yeah, your commission's going to have to, you know, get it together, or they're going to be the next Texas and Vegas.
There was no one from D.C. here, but they're not a great commission necessarily either. But I was going to say this, dude. I thought Hector Garcia was fucking. His comments to Felix de Jesus. Here's what he said: his eye socket didn't get broken. That's not why he couldn't see. He said he got hit in the head so hard he forgot where he was, and he was temporarily blinded. When Jim Gray, I was like, when Jim Gray interviewed him, he's like, I can see now. I have my eyesight back. And I said it to the guys, dude, I'm not doing a bit. That's like getting hit in the head with a fucking hammer. Seriously.
The only other time I can remember anything like that in boxing was the second Mickey Ward Arturo Gatti fight, which is the stinker of the three. Went 10 rounds like the first and third did. But it has one great round, round three. And in that one, I don't know if people remember, Mickey Ward got dropped on his way into the corner, kind of like when Ricky Hatton got finished by Floyd Mayweather in that knockdown that led up to the stoppage. And this is what Mickey Ward claimed after the fight, that he was hit so hard, and when he hit his face first into the corner, he couldn't see.
Holy shit.
So he got up unable to see and was trying to fight Gatti from distance. Gatti uncorked and absolutely rocked him. And he says the punch woke him back up and gave him the eyesight. And then he actually was the fighter coming on to close that round. I mean, this guy, you know, I've never seen anything like that, I guess, until tonight. That shows the power of Tank. But, I mean, it's the precision. So
his timing.
You know, we said this is an interesting sort of tune-up that's not a tune-up. It's a tough fight. And look, did Hector Garcia pass the test from the idea of showing you that, like, this is not a tune-up. He deserved to be here. He's tough as nails and skilled.
He showed that. He's not a world-class fighter in the way that Tank is. He is not a bullshit fighter at all.
Oh, no.
At all.
And in his weight class, where he's still a title holder, let's give him a chance to go back down there and do some big things. But he showed me a lot. So we said this could be the right test for a Ryan Garcia fight in certain ways. And look, that height and reach difference seemed to be a legitimate difference for Hector Luis Garcia. Ryan Garcia, on the contrary, is going to employ a much larger reach and height advantage. So, to some degree, that's kind of some of the challenges that Tank will be up against. But Hector Garcia, much more of a technician than Ryan Garcia. But Ryan Garcia, much more dangerous with the combination of that length, that speed, the power that comes from that speed, and I think more importantly, the intention. Hector Garcia had big intention tonight to stand in there and be willing to trade with Tank and know that's the only way he's going to win. Ryan Garcia has a different kind of intention, a little bit more reckless, a little bit more come right in there and let it go. That fight is going to be tense.
I was like, that's also dangerous against
him. Of course.
That's very dangerous.
So where this fight, for a lot of it, didn't have that same, let's say, like, something's about to happen feel that Rolly Romero versus Gervonta has. Gervonta versus Ryan Garcia is like the epitome of that. So you're going to, you know, and the crowd, it's going to draw the different fan base. I mean, look, it's a big super fight. To see Gervonta take care of business this way, given all the negative headlines, which he caused for the most part with his outside the ring trouble, although there were certain circumstances this time around. But another trial coming up for Gervonta in February, but his ability to just sort of put that to the side, handle the business at hand, it's why he gets to call himself among the pound-for-pound best. And when you talk about star-wise, you saw your city show up for him.
Dude, they came out here.
Where does Gervonta Davis in your eyes right now? Because when we're talking about global stars in boxing, you go Canelo, you go Anthony Joshua, right?
Yeah.
And then Tyson Fury? I mean, that's really what we're looking at on the men's side.
Yep.
About Gervonta Davis is different from them, but
he's not quite there.
But from the standpoint of going to any city and selling out the arena, you're not seeing a lot of boxers doing that.
Yes, but has he? I mean, look, he's got a troubled situation, right?
No question about it.
So he's not a national hero the way that Canelo is. I think that's fair.
That's fair. Canelo has a statue.
I mean, I think obviously in this community in Washington D.C. and in the Baltimore area, Tank Davis is obviously well received. And, you know, obviously he pulls heavily with African-American crowds, with I would say his crowds are also, you know what I notice about Tank's crowds? They skew a little younger than the average boxing crowd, or no?
Yes, I would say that.
Yeah, a little bit younger than the average boxing crowd, so there's that. But I don't know that he's brought in, you know.
Hey, dude, the average boxing crowd is old as shit. Just be honest with the people, okay?
Yeah, it's old. It's
okay,
old.
But Tank has a, and let's give Ryan Garcia credit, that's why this fight's going to be so big and special. They both have fan bases that are unique because they're not fully fueled by boxing, for, right. You know, especially Ryan Garcia. But they also attract very young crowds, which is great for the sport. Two young ambassadors in their own way.
Tristan, who was the rapper who walked him out? Do you know? Does Carly know? Gaff, do you know? Wow, y'all are as washed as we are.
Carly's more known for her ability to corral snacks. I have a rider that usually says fruit snacks. And look, if you're going to get 12 donuts, how many of them should be Boston Creams?
Well, in that studio,
there's
bare minimum two. Bare minimum
at
two.
Bare minimum four, okay?
Really? That's a lot. Jesus.
I mean, it's the best donut, like, not by like a little.
I agree.
It's like
it's
by,
my number
by
one.
Far,
it's my number one seed as well. You know? But all right,
it's like Thin Mints in the Girl Scout trade.
Okay, cool. Let's talk about round eight. One of the fucking craziest things I've ever seen. Meek Mill, truly the fucking rapper from Philly.
Didn't we just talk about it?
I know. And Shy Glizzy, the DC rapper Shy Glizzy. Oh my God. So DC. Okay, so Shy Glizzy, who by the way is kind of associated with Fat Trell. They're all connected.
These are just names to me.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Is that because they're black?
Is Steely Dan, did they have a fight in the crowd tonight or
no.
What?
No. So I guess Shy Glizzy, who's like a local DC guy, he got into a beef with Meek Mill. They fucking stopped the whole round.
Dude, Steven Espinosa was right in the midst of it.
And then we thought for a second Stack was in there. Shouts to Stack, by the way, who, by the way, I got to say this about
loyalty.
Stack.
Loyalty, baby.
Talking about fight week here a little bit. Let me tell you something. BC and I, you know, we get a chance to work with celebrities a fair amount, right? And
you talking about Paul Pierce?
Paul was great to us, too.
I loved it.
Paul was great to us, too. But I'll say this. Of everyone we've ever worked with, tell me if I'm exaggerating here. Stack is a genuinely... He's
you know what
way
he is?
Too cool, not just for us. He's way too cool to us. Like, he makes us feel way cooler than we are.
And
right?
He's instant family. Like, instantly, you know, like I like if I needed $10,000 right now with no questions asked.
He probably would make you sign something.
I'd give the guy a liver. Right? Not my liver.
Your liver's not worth $10. You
know, I'd actually trade. Maybe I'd trade him my kidney for his liver if we ever needed to do that.
You could do that.
Like, you know, black market organ dealing to try to keep each other alive.
Dude, we were talking about this as well before you got here. You're asking what you missed. And I'm just no-selling it.
you remember that time that guy was sitting on the floor right over here?
And you're like, what are you doing? we were talking about all the the euphemistic ways to ask Gervonta about going to jail. And one of them is, like, how are you juggling distractions, you know?
Yeah.
But I'll say this. This is truthful. Between the rounds, he's looking around. He's asking for people. Calvin Ford is not talking boxing to him. He's like, hey, how you doing? Do you need some water?
That was interesting. Now...
He was the most distracted guy I've ever seen.
It
didn't matter.
There were two consecutive rounds. After round four, it seemed like Tank, you know, Calvin was like, what are you looking at? Like, his Tank was just looking at something or looking for somebody in the crowd. Round five, it was Calvin who didn't know what round it was, and they were looking, but that's a
round,
normal.
It was after round six.
Okay, but that is
seven.
Somewhat normal where a corner goes.
Yes, agreed.
This week, with a lot of pressure on Gervonta's shoulders, you know, I think he handled it well overall. But there were a couple of times where we weren't sure of his response or his behavior. I mean, on stage to close Thursday's press conference when he kind of pushed Hector Garcia and, like, it just, I was unsure was about where he was going. But I think something I said was true. Like, the second he walked out into this arena and felt that love, it was like,
smiling.
Okay, it's time to go now. Yeah. I'm happy. Let's do it. Let's let it go. But, I mean, very few people can pull off the style that Gervonta does and be that efficient with those type of numbers, but carry that power and be that dangerous. I mean, he also boxed it well in pockets when he needed to. He's never known for big jab numbers, but there were times they really used his jab. The body punches were very nice. I thought Hector Garcia went to the body well.
Also, I would say this. It looked the only time you could really tell they were from different weight classes, I mean, Tank, I guess if he was really disciplined, he could make 130. I do believe that. If he was disciplined.
No.
He doesn't. Dude, he could lean up. I mean, you could. It's okay, but whatever.
Easy for you to say, Biggins.
I'm just saying, we're talking about 5 pounds. He could do it, right? But I noticed that he had no problem taking Garcia's punches.
Oh, no problem. Like, and Garcia's punches were pinpoint. They were sharp, but they didn't seem to be moving him at
they
all.
They mattered through the first three, and then after that, it kind of slowly fell apart.
I don't think they mattered as much. I think Tank was taking his time. Because he was smart. He
kind of like McGregor Mayweather, like column A, column B.
I mean, you're going to compare that directly, apples to apples?
Merely saying that, yes, Tank might not have been having his foot all the way down on the gas.
Yeah.
And so that gave Garcia's technique room to breathe. But he did what he was supposed to, and he won maybe a couple. I think he won a couple of those on the judges'
scorecard. We got roasted really good on Instagram, you and I, for what we're dressed in today. They're like, you know, Luke looks great. He also looked like he's about to give me my key card at the hotel to go check in. I was like, yes, yes. And then they were like, oh, BC looks like he spent $600 above the waist and about 60 below it. And I was like, well, yeah, it's kind of.
You know, I want to thank the staff, BC, for getting us binoculars so we could watch the fight. From the fucking condor's nest they put us in. I mean, I need an oxygen tank from the state of elevation that we're in. I mean, literally, I've been in this venue 100 times. This is the highest I've been, and I'm sober.
They were like,
we don't make an elevator for the floor you're going to. You just got to schlep up there like a piece of shit. We're like, all right.
What are your expectations on a line now? Now that we can look just a little bit ahead
for Garcia part two,
because
so to speak,
Gervonta was a plus or minus -1600 betting.
He was a substantial favorite,
but that's kind of what you do in boxing. And okay, but now we got a guy with speed, power, size who you know. I mean, look, it's in play that either guy can win by knockout. That's in play.
I don't know exactly what the numbers are going to be because it's hard for me to know what boxing lines. I'm a little bit better with MMA lines,
yeah,
but. I would say they're going to make Tank a modest favorite. A modest
minus -350?
Something like that. I think that's about, or at least I should say one more time. I think that's where the line will open.
Yeah.
What will happen after that? Who's to say? Hey, let's talk a little bit about Jerron Ennis. Because I said this when you were coming in. Listen, three different judges gave him every single round. The guy pitched a shutout, wins unanimous decision, no problem. But my friends, who I had talked up to Jerron Ennis to...
So that's where it was the
wrong
kind
of... They came back to me being like, this guy's the most impressive guy?
And it's like, it's weird. He kind of needs a night like this, to be fair. A night where, you know, look, he'd never been past six rounds entering this fight. He'd never been past six rounds. He had a guy take him to the four-round distance and somebody take him to the six-round distance. The names are not household names. So to go 12 in a fight in which he still won 12-0 on all three scorecards... And never stopped trying. There was never a situation. There was a frustration level I thought Boots acquired in round 8 specifically where he actually spun himself around one time. He had trouble catching up with Chukagian's movement or Chukuzan. And Chukuzan, there were pockets in which he started to actually try and let his hands go and he would hit. It was one of those ultimate disappointments if you were like, buy the pay-per-view just for Boots or buy a ticket to the arena just for Boots. This wasn't the night where that cashed in. This wasn't the night where we go out of here going, man, should Spence just skip Crawford and go right to Boots? You know what I mean? Like, we were kind of talking about that Friday, like, wonder...
Got to pump the brakes on that.
Is that in play? I don't think you have to pump the brakes on what... Tell me if I'm wrong. On what Boots didn't do. I think he had an opponent who was tough, had good evasive skills in terms of footwork.
Very good.
And even in terms of his offense, Chukagian, there was some craft to it when he wanted to show to it. He was big and strong for the weight class. I don't know, man. I mean, I think this was this in the long run, you need this. Would you rather have him go through this before fighting a Spence,
yes,
Thurman, or
yes,
Ugas, or, yes, or yes, yes, Crawford? Yes, you would. So
some guys are hard to look good against by virtue of who they are, and then also by the style that they employ. Chukwudzon was hard to look good against tonight.
Exactly.
If Boots struggled to look good, tell me who would look good. I mean, yes, okay, you could say Spence or Crawford, but that, I mean, like, that would literally be it. Like, I could not imagine Keith Thurman, you know, finding him and nailing him down and looking good, right, in the process. It's very difficult.
Like I said, there were moments of frustration. There wasn't, though, you know, moments where he's giving the fight away, moments where he was rocked and hurt very badly. No, all in all, I mean, did you see the shape he came in? He hired a new nutritionist that they were talking about. And
he stood between every round. He was, as they say, like diced to the socks.
Yeah,
bro.
I mean, those back muscles had, like, different, like, caverns that you could fly,
He's not going to bang you, bro. That's what people say in the comments whenever you, like, say something nice about anyone. They're not going to bang you.
Ian Heinisch has backzilla.
Yes, he's also yoked.
So look, for Boots, it wasn't spectacular. And the crowd booed him, and he's got to deal with that. They booed him, but he didn't. It wasn't lack of effort.
And to your point, I mentioned, I give you credit, he didn't have a great call out either.
No, but I don't think you can after that performance when the crowd's booing and people are going, oh, you're supposed to blow this guy away. I mean, even Steve Harwood before the fight in the broadcast was like, this may not go, you know, two rounds here. This may not even go at one. We'll see. We had that feeling. Let's give – I mean, do you want to give Chukwudzon – Chukwudzon credit for going the distance, or did he stop trying to win at points and that's why it went?
He definitely wasn't trying to win, but he was trying to secure a moral victory, and he did. He did. He went the full distance. He's the first guy to take him the full 12 round distance, and he was able to land some shots on occasion to keep a guy like that off balance at times, certainly to frustrate him, but he couldn't do it enough to win. I mean, he did not win. Chukwudzon did not win a single round on a single judge's scorecards. It was 120 to 108 all the way through. So it's just, I mean, like, just think about it. That's as good as, like, you're going to look in a situation where an opponent is that frustrating.
Right. And all of our favorite fighters have had a night like that. It sounds very well, you're making all excuses. He looked great outside of that. I mean, he tried anything to get inside on this guy. It didn't work out. All right, there's a lot of framed Ovechkin pictures in that hallway, by the way, like the whole hallway.
Yeah, he's a god in this building.
We said the fight of the night could be Royman Villa versus Speedy Rasheed Yelich.
How about Royman?
And it actually was, but not in the way we expected it, but from that incredible rally from Royman Villa, who the first
I didn't think he won.
For the first five rounds, in which all three judges gave the first five rounds to Ellis, it not only looked like it was going to be a long night for Villa, he didn't look on the same level. Now, we knew there was going to be a speed difference. We knew there was going to be a technique difference because Villa is this Venezuelan puncher who's going to walk you down and just keep coming. But you got to give Villa so much credit, who ends up getting the majority decision win, ends up rallying in the final round to drop Speedy Rasheed twice, and then gets the decision where when you heard it was majority, which means one scorecard,
was
a draw.
Yep.
The other two for one fight. You knew it was for Rasheed Yelich. You just knew it. You were like, wow.
Let's
give Villa the credit for never giving up. Rasheed got a little bit tired, but hey, man, you didn't get it done. No, he got it done. The judges gave it to him. What a win for a guy who just made his U.S. debut in September, which was also his showbox debut, and he got a big win hand in the first loss to an unbeaten prospect. Then he looks terrible for five rounds, but figures it out and has, like, this Maidana Jr. type finish, man. I mean,
Think about it. If it was a 10-round fight, Ellis wins. If it's an 8-round fight, Ellis wins. 6, 4. He wins all of them. In the 12-round, he's, you know who Villa reminds me of for our MMA fans? I mean, this is a strange comparison, but in the sense of the dynamic works a little bit the same. He's a little bit of Chito Vera, right? Where it's like king of the 5-rounders for MMA, Chito Vera. Villa is the king of the 12-rounders. He needs the full 12.
Tristan agreed with you. I've never seen that happy.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, he needed the full. If it was, you cut short 2 rounds, it's a different fight.
Yeah.
But the fact that once Ellis couldn't rely on his slickness enough, when the athleticism went from a 10 to an 8 to a 7, Villa was still there. He was still in his face. He still had something for him. His game didn't drop off.
But
that's the difference.
Both fighters talked about a rematch immediate for afterwards.
Yeah, fine.
You have to feel like Speedy Rashidi can.
Yeah, he should
can,
win.
Can
he should win.
Get on the exercise bike a little bit longer than he did this camp. He did come in great shape. I mean, he looked fantastic for, you know, until
he just,
things.
He fought in a very exhausting way.
Yes. Right. I wonder if that rematch is different. Maybe Villa can add something different. But, hey, what a breakout victory, though. That was, I mean, the crowd pop for him winning that decision and him nearly stopping was great. Damon Nicholson took on Demetrius Andrade in the opener, Boo Boo Andrade, in his debut at 68, his debut at PBC. All in all, good night for Boo Boo. I didn't love the post-fight interview. He didn't have some big call-out. He wants to fight everybody, anybody who's a name. But the skill gap was wide. It looked like he was on his way to stopping Nicholson. To Nicholson's credit, he was able to hang around.
Yep.
But I don't – do you take anything negative? I mean, people – not everybody loves Andrade, but he showed me he's world-class tonight.
I just feel like everyone – every time, like, okay, not everyone, because some people have given up on him, frankly. But I think that a lot of boxing fans are just waiting for, like, okay, tonight's going to be that night where finally he'll have a big night. Finally it'll come together. Finally,
didn't
blah,
he try,
blah.
Though? He was offensive as crap.
I think he did. I think you watched the performance. If you just didn't know him and you were just judging him as a boxer, he performed quite well. I mean, he was at certain times definitely pressing the action. I just feel like the problem is he can't go into a fight right now without all the baggage that he's been carrying around him, defining how everyone sees every little piece of it, fair or otherwise.
And he also said afterwards that the weight difference was a difference. So you wonder, when he starts facing the big punchers at 68, does he have to go back to fighting from distance and just being slick? I mean, he was offensive here against Nicholson, who was durable. Nicholson did land some big right hands at some weird times where you thought he might have been back in the fight. But overall, and Andrade, who's coming off a 13-month layoff shoulder surgery, I thought he looked good. I think David Morrell Jr. is the matchup for Andrade.
You like that one?
I do like that one a lot. I really do, because Morrell is, I mean, his last couple fights, man, he has grown and evolved under Ronnie Shields to be able to be, you know, a good boxer, a power puncher who's learned how to put it together. But how about all that defense and head movement he showed? That's like sort of slickness and craziness. I want to see him have to beat a technician, a long athletic technician, like somebody like Andrade. That's going to be a very good fight if they can.
I guess
that.
I would say it's a decent showing at 168 for sure, but like the power punching of Charlo at 168.
Let's see him move up first, though. We got to move up and establish.
He's been talking about it too, but I don't know. He seems to be like a bigger puncher.
Love this division. Benavidez Plant coming up in a couple months.
Yep.
Canelo's got a big decision to make.
He sure does. He's probably going to fight Bivol again. Don't do that.
Big Red.
Don't do that. Don't do that. My man's got you. It's okay.
We covered this, you know, wire to wire, wall to wall, rubber to rubber in your city this week, Luke.
We did. I'd say in overall, it was a successful.
I thought it was a successful week for the brand. Now, a lot of that came from the Dana White coverage.
We're probably banned from the UFC going forward. I mean, let's just be real about that. But, you know, who knows?
That's gross.
I don't make those calls.
That's Josh Gross level.
Do you want to call it a day?
Call it a night. I mean, what is the 4 a.m. right now? I mean, if it's 3 a.m., I must be lonely. Is it?
It's 2:30, yeah. This is fast. 1 hour.
So you keep your watch, which you can change with probably like, you can probably talk into it and it changes at this point.
I cannot talk into this
watch. You keep your watch an hour ahead.
I don't keep it that way. It's just my normal watch, the battery died, so this is my backup watch.
Dude, in my mind, I'm like muscular and handsome, but the proof in this TV screen. I mean, I look like a substitute teacher. This is awful, right?
You look like Jack Black in School of Rock. Mr. Schneebly, are we going to study Tool during lunchtime?
I mean, I want to believe that I have a 44-year-old body. Well, you can argue it's older, right, based on the liver damage. But, Luke, my mind is, you know, I'm often 23 in my head. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, I'm only 23 in my head, and then every time I get on camera, I'm like, how have I not been fired with cause for just being ugly?
You know what? Your style tonight, by the way, which is very regal, it's almost Trumpian.
Doesn't he wear red ties?
Yes, but it's like solid, you know, blue with a solid tie. Hey, Matt, son of Daniel, little Trump vibes out of this guy, right?
Trump vibes.
Trump vibes here in D.C. Dressed like a member of the American royal family.
Not a lot of Jan Sixers here today, huh?
No, there was not. No, there was not.
I don't think I saw one white guy with a beard here the entire time.
You know, I checked most of the walls. I didn't see any shit smeared. You know, that's for sure. You know what
Give
I mean?
It time. Give it time. All right, I think that's it for us. We're fucking done here. I want to thank the crew. Phenomenal job.
Hey, you know, I got to give it up for the crew. You know what I'm saying?
They did a great job. They did a great job this week.
Even Filthy Phil?
Well, you know, if you can't. I want to make so many jokes. I can't. I'll get us fired. You know, just keep your pants on, Phil. That's all I'll say. Yeah, want to thank the crew from Malka. Did a great job. Want to thank Showtime. We had a great time here. Got to do a home game. You're just the worst person in America. I mean,
hey, we should get a home game for me up in CT, right?
What the fuck are we? Dana White wouldn't even bring his power slap league to your fucking hometown. That's how shitty that is. Are you kidding me? What's it gonna, you guys are going to handle snakes at the Civic Center? What the fuck are you going to do with that?
If I lit a fart on fire right now, would I be a hero or a villain in our audience's mind, you know?
You could start a new league with Dana White. Just light your farts on fire league. I mean, no one ever accused him of having the best taste on earth. I'll tell you that.
Hey, how good's this tie, right?
Okay, we can call it a day here. Don't forget, Monday. We'll be back with you guys, and then we'll have some stuff to say. It'll be fun. You know how we do it. All right, he's turning into a pumpkin. This is a show. All right, for Malka, for Showtime, for CBS Sports, you can get your tickets for our live show in London, February 8th. Come see us. We'll love you. And then that'll be that. All right, BC, you want to take us out?
No.
No?
Not.
That's Brian Campbell. I'm Luke Thomas. Thank you for watching. Until next time, get some sleep.